First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Hey everyone, I'm a regular guest host on the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network. Well, welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline filling in for Alan today. Good to have you with us, staying with us for our second hour. Well, there is a Gaza peace negotiation on the table, a 20-point plan that Trump put out there, and of course, there are numerous opinions about that. Here to talk about that and a whole lot more is director, producer, and humorist Salvador Litvak. He's the author of Let My People Laugh, Greatest Jewish Jokes of All Time, and director of the upcoming Action. Actually, it's already out. I've seen all kinds of trailers for it. The action film Guns and Moses. Salvador Litvak, thank you for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show.
Karen, always a pleasure to be back with you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, and may it be a year of peace, please God.
Yes, peace and a sweet new year. So how's the movie doing?
At home for everybody across the country on October 14th. We're so excited. It's one thing to ask people to get to a movie theater, but everyone can turn on their TV and see the movie starting October 14th.
How about that? Unfortunately, you cut out there at the extreme beginning of that. So just repeat the beginning of that sentence so everybody will get that.
So sorry, the movie is going to be available for everybody at home, Apple, Amazon, Fandango at home, all major platforms on October 14th. You can see Guns and Moses at home. And I'll tell you, this is the movie that the legacy media tried to embargo, but the American people spoke loudly, and that's why it's going to be available on all major platforms. We have a 95 audience score on Rotten Tomatoes. People love this movie. And what's amazing is a movie like ours with our cast, big cast, Neil McDonough, Christopher Lloyd, Dermot Mulroney, theatrical release, could not be more timely. Jews Under Attack, Fight Back. It should have had 100 to 200 reviews. It only has 11. And we know for a fact that, you know, writers at the LA Times, New York Times watched the movie, and they normally don't watch a movie and don't review it. But somewhere in that chain, that hierarchy above the critics, it was stopped. The reviews were stopped, and that happened in a bunch of places because this movie's off narrative. And if you yourself are off narrative when it comes to the legacy media, then you're going to love Guns and Moses. And I encourage everyone to see it starting October 14th.
That's great. So what do they have to do? They just go to their regular platform and they'll find it there and on October 14th.
Exactly. Right? Buy or rent. Starting October 14th.
Excellent. Excellent. And everybody needs to do that. It's funny. We have a bit of a theme going here about entertainment for common sense people, people who don't want Netflix grooming their children, et cetera, et cetera. It sounds like this movie epitomizes everything that the radical left and even perhaps, I hate to say it, there's something now called the woke right, which doesn't think that Israel ought to be, thinks that Israel and the Jewish people should be held to an entirely different standard than anybody else in the whole world. They shouldn't fight back. They should just take it. And talk about that a little bit. Is that what motivated you to make this kind of movie? Or, I'm sure it's deeper than that, but tell us.
I mean, this movie absolutely comes from our hearts. There have been a lot of action thrillers, and there have even been, religious Jews showing up in movies now and then, usually to mock them. as Hollywood always mocks people of faith. But you've never seen a movie about religious Jews made by a religious Jew in a mainstream picture. This is a proper action thriller. We really wanted to make a movie good enough to appear on its own merit on any list of the greatest thrillers of all time. That's what we were going for. And it's starring a character, a detective and a sort of reluctant gunfighter who is a Chabad rabbi, a Hasidic rabbi. And he's thrust into that role. It's not something that he's looking for. But if you try to attack his family and his community, then he's going to do what Jews have always done. It's something we learned from our father Jacob in the Bible, that when we're under threat, it's a three-prong response. We pray to our Father in heaven. We attempt diplomacy if we've got reasonable people to negotiate with. And we prepare for war. And in our religious community, I can tell you that a lot of us have gotten licensed and carry firearms because the danger is real. And I don't care who's telling us that we should lie down and just be destroyed. We're not going to do that. Israel's not going to do that. And Jewish communities around the world are not going to do that. It's very sad to me that there's a lot of secular Jews who are untethered from Torah, untethered from the Bible, who have a lot of ability, a lot of intelligence, a lot of creativity, a lot of desire to do good and make changes in the world that improve the world. But when they're untethered from those traditional values, they can become useful idiots for people who are pushing a terrible agenda on the United States. I'm thinking of Mamdani in New York.
Absolutely.
And I'm thinking of all these, you know, blank studies departments at the universities where they really just fill in some kind of intersectional identity politics, anti-American philosophy that has really festered and taken such root in academia, in the media, and of course, in entertainment. So there's a culture war that we're all fighting.
Sal, before we move on to the it's so important, everything is related to everything else.
Yeah.
And we discuss Israel and Gaza and what you think about the peace deal that's supposedly on the table. No, it is on the table. How it plays out, we'll see. And you've graciously agreed to stay another segment, so we'll get into that. I'm wondering something that I've been very concerned about. As a conservative Jewish person, kind of a unicorn, and you are too. Although it's changing.
You're talking about conservative politics right now, right? Conservative politics.
Well, yeah, actually, you know, I go to a conservative synagogue as well, but I never did before.
So, as a political conservative, you're a little bit unusual at your synagogue, right?
Yes, yes, I would say so. Yeah. Except, well, totally as an aside, there is a very large population of converts who trace their roots back to the Spanish Inquisition. One day I'll have to ask you about that. I don't know if you have that with the name Salvador, which we call, for our listeners who may not know, Sephardic Jews, who had such a strong Jewish soul that they fought their way back to Judaism, sometimes 400 or 500 years after the Inquisition, which is a phenomena that is just amazing. And for Jews born in this country, which most of them are Ashkenazi Jews, it's an unbelievable inspiration. Being said, an issue that has concerned me and also I see as a real opportunity is the horrible opportunity that was presented by the horrible event of the assassination of Charlie Kirk and this resurgence in Christian it's like a Christian revival. And there are some being called the woke right who want to hijack this and say that Charlie Kirk was not a supporter of Israel and the Jewish people, but yet he was very much so. And does this movie offer an opportunity to unite Jews and Christians together for the positive rather than the negative that we are seeing among some Republicans?
Absolutely. Absolutely it does. In fact, I'll share with you that on Rosh Hashanah, a friend of mine, his father-in-law came up to me. I didn't even know that my friend's father-in-law is a very wealthy man, a philanthropist involved in a lot of causes, a very staunch political conservative, and a true friend, a dear friend of Charlie Kirk. And the day before Charlie was taken from us, my friend's father-in-law told Charlie about Guns N' Moses, told him the story, what it's all about. And Charlie was so excited. He's like, that movie sounds amazing. I got to see that. And the next day he was taken. It was unbelievable.
Horrifying. But through
we'll continue
that
in the next segment.
Thank you. He's in entertainment. He knows how it's done. Salvador Litvak, go and look up his movie, Guns N' Moses. And when we get back, we'll talk about this peace deal on the table. That's Salvador Litvak, L-I-T-V-A-K. We'll be right back. Karen Cataline, you're listening to the Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
SUVs are, without question, the most popular vehicle choice in the United States. But with so many models available, it can be difficult to know which one would be best for you. Kia America's James Bell has more.
People often think SUVs and crossovers are the same, but they're not. Traditional SUVs are built on truck platforms and are designed for towing and more off-roading exercises. Crossovers, on the other hand, share more with cars, which means better fuel economy and a smoother ride. The decision really comes down to the lifestyle and how you plan to use your next vehicle.
What might surprise you is that SUVs are not limited to gas engines. Hybrid and plug-in hybrid options are widely available. The Kia Sportage, for example, comes in gas, hybrid, and plug-in hybrid, giving drivers great choices for how they plan to travel.
There's no one-size-fits-all SUV, but almost all are built for adventure. And the trick is finding the one that amplifies your lifestyle and your passengers.
To learn more about the latest SUVs and crossovers, visit Kia.com.
So there's really three factors that come into play that says exactly why mid-October is a great time to buy. So first, there's just more homes on the market this time of year. And so that means that buyers are going to have more options and more time to make their choices, and that they're going to see that sellers are more motivated to get out of the market and make a sale. Second, this is a time of year where there's less competition from other buyers. So there's just fewer buyers in the market, and that's going to mean that buyers are going to notice that, you know, there's less people to compete with. And then third, prices actually come down this time of year relative to other times of year too. So there's really a lot of savings to be had if you're a buyer who's fortunate enough to be in the market right now. And then get connected with a realtor on realtor.com. This is someone who knows your market inside and out, is going to be able to help you to guide your home search from start to finish. So for more information, you can go to realtor.com either through our app or our website. And if you really want to know more about why this is such a great time to buy, go to realtor.com/besttimetobuy.
There's nothing worse than losing cell service while exploring the great outdoors, but that's changing fast. T-Mobile is bringing coverage to the most remote parts of the country with T-Satellite with Starlink, reaching over 500,000 square miles where towers can't, thanks to over 650 satellites already in orbit. Over 1 million messages have already been sent in hard-to-reach areas, from national parks to remote trails. King of Phillips, travel expert.
As someone who's constantly off the beaten path, this changes everything. Now I can stay connected, even deep in the mountains or deserts.
For more information, visit T-Mobile.com. Sponsored by T-Mobile.
Some seizures may go unnoticed, but the stories of people with epilepsy will not. Share your story to educate others.
To empower others to seek treatment.
To show others they are not alone.
To help others change their journey.
Let's get everyone to start talking about epilepsy and seizures.
I am ready to share my story.
I'm ready to share my story.
Let's change our epilepsy story.
Let's change our epilepsy story.
For more information, visit changeourstory.org.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. We are delighted to have for one more segment Salvador Litvak, director, producer, and humorist, and the creator of the great action film that will be available October 14th for everyone to see, Guns and Moses. Thanks, Sal, for staying with us. We so appreciate it.
Great to be with you. Let's talk about the peace deal, huh?
Yeah. Let's talk about that peace deal. Boy, I've talked to a lot of people, and you know they say two Jews and three opinions. Well, this is like two Jews and 47 opinions. Go for it. What do you think?
Listen, I want those hostages back so badly. We've been praying for that every day since October 7th, literally. We say Psalms every day. My wife has the names of the remaining hostages written like on this sort of chalk wall in our kitchen. We want them home. We want the war to end. We want our brave soldiers to stop being in harm's way. But I got to tell you, I have mixed feelings because part of this deal involves freeing actual murderers, mass murderers, terrorists who are responsible for taking dozens and dozens of Jewish lives, Israeli lives. And by the way, also, I think their victims have included Christians and Muslims in Israel. Israeli Arabs, Israeli Christians, Druze.
And Americans, right?
And Americans.
Absolutely.
Exactly right. And these people are going to be let out of the prisons and sent back to Gaza. And they're not reformed. They're not going to be peacekeepers. They're going to go right. They're going to be senior leaders with tremendous respect among the Gazans. And they're going to go right back to hatching plans to kill us. So let's be realistic about that. I think that we're never going to have our guard down again. I think that there's going to be a serious buffer, you know, around Gaza. Gaza is going to be smaller for the Gazans than it was before. SAFO borders, let's say. And
I think most people know what that means. Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, and I just hope. Yeah, I just hope what I've been praying for every day, in addition to the hostage return, is a secure and lasting peace. Everybody would prefer peace, except the Gazans. They had peace on October 6th. They had their own country since 2005. Yeah. They've only used it to create a fortress, a rat's den of tunnels, and to launch attacks after attacks after attacks, always casting themselves as the victims. With the breathless support of the woke left around the world. There is this Jew-hating woke right. I don't think they're going to actually become Gaza supporters, but I don't know. I mean, Tucker Carlson with his hyena laugh, a guy I used to respect, who's clearly on the Qatari payroll now, and Candace, who's just insane. I mean, it's just
Can you actually back that one up? Because I've heard that from a lot of people on Tucker. Candace just needs to, I mean, it's just insane. I mean, she's psychotic. But I mean,
she's
Tucker,
psychotic.
I'm hearing that. Is it validated? Can we prove it?
I can't prove it. But what I think is well documented is that when he left Fox, he made some $15 million deal with the Pakistani, you know, who is funding his new thing. And then whereas he used to be, you know, a real critic of the colonizing empire of political Islam, it's taken over 50 countries and counting. It looks like the UK is soon to be added to that list. And and now, you know, the last I heard, he's like, oh, yeah, well, Islam just means submission to God. That sounds good to me. I mean, it's like his
tune
has
you'd think he's got
so
enough
much.
Money. And his change was, I mean, there's so many things to talk about, Sal. It's easy to go down that rabbit hole, which is so infuriating because there are people who are useful idiots of Tucker Carlson and they want a scapegoat. And I didn't like calling it the woke right. But in fact, it's that same thing of wanting to point to one entity that can, if you just eradicate them, you know, and scapegoat them, then all our problems will be solved. And then if you think that, it's easy to find loads and loads and loads and loads of crap on the internet, I call it that, that will validate your belief that the Jews are the root of all evil. Really unfortunate. Getting back to this, though, how can you... Tom Lehrer was right. We just lost him a few months ago. Tom Lehrer was right. If you know who Tom, you're too young probably to remember Tom Lehrer.
During National Brotherhood Week.
And everybody hates the Jews.
Exactly.
But how can you change hearts and minds? A lot of this 20-point plan involves stopping the practice of steeping people in Gaza in absolute bloodthirsty hate, including the indoctrination of children. How do you change the hearts and minds with an agreement? I don't see that happens. Plus, the bar for Gaza is so low for the other side, and always impossibly high for Israelis. So, what do you think about that?
I don't know. I don't know how you change the hearts and minds of a people that their you know, main export is hate. Their main domestic product is hate. That what they define themselves as is just enemies of Israel. They really don't have any other historical culture. They have no product. They don't export anything. Wherever they go, they cause trouble. What are they contributing to the world? It's interesting to me, you know, the Saudi Arabians have not been such friends of Israel in the past. But you have to give them some credit because, you know, they realize that the reason they have influence in the world is oil. They made a ton of money with oil, and they know that oil will run out. So they're planning for the future, right? They're trying to become some kind of economic hub. They want to do some kind of modernizing, build these cities of the future, and remain relevant in the world, you know, after the oil runs out. Is that going to be 50 years, 100 years? I don't know. But eventually, the oil is going to run out. And so they want to remain relevant. And they're smart, you know, and they also understand power politics. I think in that part of the world, really, historically, there's only peace when there's a strong man. I mean, that's just the way it works in the Middle East.
Yeah.
They respect strength, you know.
I'm so sorry. We have to wrap it up, and it's really, I hate to have to do it because it's so much fun. You can tell. The audience could tell we're having a good time here. I was going to comment that Saudi Arabia, instantly their stock went up when the radical left decided to turn against them. The Otto Penn administration decided that Saudis were not their friends, I said, maybe they're coming around. What do you want to leave us with? Obviously, Guns and Moses, October 14th, but we have like less than a minute, and I want to give you the last word.
You know, I would like to suggest that while historically Jews and Christians have had problems, we've also been critical of each other in open debate, and eventually we've come to see how much we have in common. We are the people of the Bible, and the Bible is under siege in the world right now, and the people of the Bible have to stand together against the unholy alliance of jihadist political Islam and the woke left.
The radical left. The red-green alliance.
The radical left, for sure.
Yes.
Unholy alliance.
Beautifully.
Against
beautifully
the people of the
said.
Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Salvador Litvak, always a pleasure to have you. Happy New Year. May it be a great year for everyone, including Israel. We'll be right back when we get back.
Tilly Ramsey, daughter of celebrity chef Gordon Ramsay, is ready to step out of her father's shadow into her own culinary adventures with the new series Dish It Out, premiering Friday, September 5th on Prime Video. A passionate foodie and aspiring chef, Tilly celebrates online trends and family recipes, alongside some surprise visitors in the kitchen, including her parents Gordon and Tana Ramsay, Gillian Jacobs, Frankie Grande, and many more. In each episode, Tilly receives a mystery box from chefs, influencers, and home cooks from around the world and uses the ingredients to cook a dish for a studio guest. Tilly Ramsey.
I sat next to my father in the kitchen for my entire life and wanted to become a chef for as long as I can remember. Now that I've graduated culinary school, I'm ready to sharpen my skills and create exciting new dishes for my guests, and will be sure to have plenty of fun along the way.
Don't miss Dish It Out starting this Friday, September 5th, only on Prime Video.
I first want to underscore that Hispanics may be getting the disease younger and may be more at risk, so it's important to be aware of this. Having a history of a Parkinson's in the family, but having chronic constipation, whether in yourself or in your family, also chronic depression yourself or a family, then having smell loss, and also having a long standard, what we call REM sleep behavior. That is when you act out in your dreams, you act out in your sleep, you talk in your sleep, you may sleepwalk. All these are apparently risk factors that contribute to perhaps having a greater incidence or chance of developing Parkinson's. You can go to the michaeljfox.org/PPMI to find out more so that we can make bigger strides. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Psst, Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. We're glad to have back Dr. Carol Lieberman, MD and Master's in Public Health. She's also known as the Terrorist Therapist and hosts both the Terrorist Therapist Show and Dr. Carol's Couch on voiceamerica.com. She's also a board-certified Beverly Hills psychiatrist and a three-time Emmy-honored TV news talk commentator. Dr. Carol, thanks for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show.
Always my pleasure.
Yes, well, Happy New Year.
Yes, to you too.
Yes, thank you. And so will our new year yield, do you think, an actual process towards real peace with Trump's 20-point plan? Or is it going to be littered with lots of the same broken promises that we've seen time and time again? What are your thoughts on that and the eve of October 7th? Lots to talk about here.
Yes, yes. Well, Trump's 20-point plan, I think, is very generous. and, you know, there is nothing that could be more generous that they would accept, although apparently they're not, you know, there are some things that they're still haggling over. But I don't know. I know Trump told Netanyahu to not be so effing negative. But, you know, Netanyahu is.
Did he really say that? I didn't know that.
He's quoted as saying that. I don't know. But he said that on Friday. And now I think he has changed his tune a little bit. I mean, I think he's realized that it's really a lot harder to negotiate with Hamas and Iran, which is, you know, Hamas is just their proxy. And so, I mean, I think he's beginning to realize more and more how difficult this is, that it's not like, you know, he knows the art of the deal, but these are people who are not logical. You know, I was reading the, where is it here? The, here's Hamas's response on October 3rd. They start out, "In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful." Now, that is the problem. It's not like dealing with people over real estate. These people are motivated by Allah, by religion. And they know that according to, you know, their books and so on, what they believe, Allah wants them to destroy Israel and then to destroy the Jews and then to destroy all the infidels, all the non-Islamic believing people. So here's, you know, to write their response to the 20-point plan, starting with "in the name of Allah," right there, it tells you, you know, how could they say, I mean, they're having a problem with that because Allah wouldn't want them to make a peace plan. And then they said, "In an effort to halt the aggression and war of extermination being waged against our steadfast people." So they're trying to say, you know, that it's Israel who is waging war against them, you know, not that they started it on October 7th. So right away you get hints that they really don't want to do this.
They've never wanted to do it, and yet people keep holding them to the lowest possible standard, Dr. Carol, while holding Israel to the highest possible standard. It's like having a one-handed handshake. Who are you going to shake hands with? Now, I don't, that's not as negative. I mean, that may be a little more negative than I feel, because I think Trump is a different kind of animal than any that we've had in the past.
Absolutely.
But honestly, I mean, you know, from a mental health standpoint, part of this 20-point plan is to stop teaching hate, right?
Yes.
It's like, how in the world, from a mental health standpoint, to change the hearts and minds of people who have been bathed in Jew hatred and hatred for all that are not Muslim, but especially Jews, since they were 2 and 3 years old from practical birth. How do you even do that? Is it reasonable? I mean, you got to try, but like, what is the best way that you could possibly do that? And you got to have a leadership from a terrorist organization willing, which frankly, I don't think they are.
Yes, it is very, I mean, that's the part that people, a lot of people don't really understand, that this isn't just, I mean, we're not talking about the difference between Democrats and Republicans, which is hard enough.
Well, they're pretty unreasonable, but that's beside the point.
Well, yeah,
the left.
Hard enough.
But anyway,
hard enough. But, I mean, but
bad example. Even, I'm sorry.
No, but no. This is even worse. Because it's not, as I said, it's not logical. It's a spiritual belief. It's a thing that they have been taught, yes, since they were in the cradle, since they were in their mother's womb. They've been hearing all these things. And so it's really, I mean, it's like trying to get people to change. Well, it's worse even than trying to get people to convert to another religion. That, you know, because people are generally more logical when they decide they want to do that. But, so, I mean, I hope that maybe we'll get as far as the swap of prisoners of hostages and so on. Of course, you note that Hamas is only supposed to give over, you know, the 48 dead and alive hostages, whereas Israel is supposed to give up for each. A Jewish hostage, they are supposed to give up so many more
of active killers.
Yes,
active killers.
Yes.
These
and
are the people.
Yes.
Go ahead.
The reason why I think that this will happen, to some degree at least, is because Hamas wants more. They need their fighters back. They've, you know, a lot of their fighters have been killed, so they want them back. So I think they'll. Go. I don't know if they'll go whole hog all of the hostages, but they will at least do some.
Yeah, it's maddening. It's maddening for those of us who have basic moral decency to see a people on the one side that get away with literal murder. Tomorrow is the anniversary of October 7th. And nothing seems to be expected of them. It's hard to watch Israel give up free terrorists who are going to come back and kill them.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe it's important to address the mental illness of many in Israel who say the war will be over if we just get these 48 half dead and half alive people back. Which, believe me, is important, but to make it all about the hostages truly misses the point because it rewards them for what they did. So from a moral and a mental health standpoint, I'd love for you to speak to that, if you would.
Yes. Well, the problem is, I mean, I think that getting the hostages back would be wonderful for, obviously, primarily the reason of getting them back, even if it's just their bodies so that their families can bury them. But it's also important to give Netanyahu a little more room, because the families and the people who empathize, I mean, everybody sympathizes and empathizes with the families of the hostages. So these are a large group of people who have been very anti-Netanyahu and kind of trying to not understanding what he's doing and trying to compel him to, you know, like they wanted to get the hostages back 2 years ago, you know, and he certainly did try. Of course, when Biden was president, he didn't have much help in that. So things are different now. But I think that it's not only great, in other words, for the very sake of getting the hostages back, but for the ability now for Netanyahu to relax a little bit and do what he thinks is right along with Trump. I mean, if Netanyahu and Trump can't get peace or can't get some kind of an arrangement there, you know, in Gaza, then I don't know who could. There's nobody else who could do it better.
Yeah. And it's interesting because, you know, I'm a part of some discussions going on with friends of mine who always have a numerous number of opinions. It's, you know, as I said earlier, it's not just two Jews, three opinions on this one. It's two Jews and 47 opinions, sometimes a piece. So, yeah. But I got so caught up there, I kind of lost track of what I was going to say. How do you get, why don't I do this? Can you stick with us for one more segment?
Sure.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. Why don't we just regroup, reset the table? Because there's a question I do want to ask you outside of this subject. Everybody's speculating. It's an important thing to do. And you are, you make a wonderful point, and that is that Trump is not just any other U.S. president. So you got to give him that. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have more, and we'll close out the show with Dr. Carol Lieberman right after this on the Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Christina Daves. I'm a lifestyle expert with some tailgate tips for you. So my go-to drink this tailgate season is Carbless, premium cocktail in a can. They have delicious flavors like pineapple and watermelon, and it's a woman and veteran-owned business. You want to stay hydrated and healthy on game day? So these are Sierra packets. They come from the Vitamin Shop, the leading destination for lifelong wellness solutions. You have electrolytes, and then you have your greens that are organic fruits and vegetables, probiotics, and fiber, so you feel great all day. And then you want to take your drinks. You make them at home. This is an insulated flask from High Camp Flask. This is a Firefly version. It has two tumblers attached to it with a magnet, and these can be customized as well. So to get more tips like this, please go to my website at ChristinaDaves.com.
Obesity affects more than 40% of American adults, yet too often people are left without access to the support they need due to high costs, outdated one-size-fits-all treatments, or long wait times to see a specialist. Obesity medicine specialist and the head of weight loss at Hims & Hers, Dr. Craig Premack, explains.
The average wait time to see an obesity specialist in the U.S. is about 5 months. Through Hims & Hers, customers typically have their intake reviewed by a licensed provider in about 3 hours. A new analysis shows that customers accessing personalized GLP-1 treatment plans through Hims & Hers lost an average of 20 pounds, or 10% of their body weight, in 6 months. 75% of customers stayed on treatment after 6 months, far exceeding typical dropout rates. With a personalized approach and support across nutrition, movement, and mental health, and 24/7 access to a dedicated care team, the result is a comprehensive care experience that helps people succeed and build healthier lives for the long term.
To get started, visit forhers.com or hims.com.
While the number of highway rail crossing collisions, deaths, and injuries have dropped over the past 5 decades, every 3 hours in the U.S., a person or vehicle is involved in a train collision. September 15th to 21st is National SeaTrax Think Train Week. John Phleps, Norfolk Southern Chief Safety Officer.
Every safe choice around train tracks is a powerful one. This week shines a spotlight on the importance of staying alert and making smart decisions near train tracks. Trains are faster and quieter than most people realize, and they can take more than a mile to come to a complete stop. That's why it's critical to stay off tracks unless you're at a designated crossing. At crossings, always look and listen for trains and make sure you have a clear view in both directions before proceeding. Safety is a core value and the foundation of everything we do at Norfolk Southern, but safety isn't just our responsibility, it is everyone's. You have more power than the train to stop a crash before it happens by always making safe choices around tracks.
Visit norfolksouthern.com/railsafety to learn more.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment. This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're gonna be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And we're wrapping up our show, completing our conversation. It's never complete. With Dr. Carol Lieberman, MD, MPH, also known as the Terrorist Therapist and host of the Terrorist Therapist Show, and Dr. Carol's Couch on voiceamerica.com. Welcome back, Dr. Carol. Good to have you.
Thanks
for staying. I wanted to ask you about something that I don't think I've had a chance to ask you about. And it's heartbreaking for people who've been, Jewish, conservative, already a minority within a minority. I think you know how that is. We're seeing something which is now being called the woke right. And it consists of people who, in particular, are scapegoating Jews, finding lots and lots of validation on the internet, even in so far. I mean, once you start blaming Jews, which then you can find tons of stuff that we're responsible for everything under the sun. And right. Even the Charlie Kirk horror assassination. And Charlie Kirk was an enormous supporter of Israel and the Jewish people. I fear that they're going to hijack that, although I don't think they're that powerful yet. But I also think that there are leftists and others who want to exploit this tension between Christians and Jews. And I'd like you to speak about that, what you think is really going on with the so-called woke right. Is that the right term? And what are your thoughts about that and this Christian revival, which I think is a wonderful thing because Christians and Jews have to stand together, especially now.
Yes, absolutely. There are some people who are trying to say that, trying to misinterpret Charlie Kirk's sayings about Israel and so on. I mean, yes, he was a friend of Israel. Those people who are celebrating his death, you know, are also basically celebrating being against Israel and being against Jews. There is this, you know, one of the things, October 7th, not only was horrendous, unspeakable, because of what Hamas did to the Jews, how many people were killed and injured and taken hostage and all of that, but also because it set off a worldwide anti-Semitic backup of, you know, the poor Palestinians because that's what people were taught in school. There are only two people, the oppressed and the oppressors. Israel must be an oppressor. Therefore, we have to take, we relate to the people who are oppressed. Therefore, we have to take the side of the Palestinians. And like in the UK, for example, just on Yom Kippur of all days, there was the horrible attack at a synagogue by a jihadist. And not only that, but then that spread. Then there were riots of people who supported this jihadist against the Jews in the UK. And so, you know, it became a worldwide movement to be anti-Israel and anti-Jew. And, you know, after October 7th. And, you know, I created, and I'd like people to go see it on my website, terroristtherapist.com. I created for last October 1st, the first anniversary of October 7th, I created a video And it's not only a video of like what happened on October 7th and various other things related to that. It's mainly a warning to people, whatever religion you are, of how terrorists, yes, they Allah apparently told them they believe that Allah wants them to destroy Israel first, then Jews, then anybody who doesn't believe in Islam. But it is not just Jews, and therefore it's a warning for everybody about terrorism and terrorists and how we have to, you know, they are taking over country by country, and our mainstream media doesn't show any of that. People most people are oblivious to that. And so, you know, we have to wake up and make some more punishments for these kinds of things, not just label everything free speech. It's not free speech to try to provoke people to riot or provoke people to attack other people. That's not free speech.
Yes.
And so we need to have more punishments, more definite arrests
for inciting
and punishment.
Inciting violence. You might have to arrest a good deal of Congress as well. But I want to go back because I totally agree with what you're saying, but even more chilling, October 7th seems to have been the cue for many of these terrorist cells to not only flip the script with the funding of maybe Qatar, Iran, and Soros and others to on college campuses and elsewhere. You can't tell me that was organic. That was, as Nancy Pelosi liked to say, astroturf. It was planned, it was deliberate, and in an unbelievably fast fashion, they flipped the script so that the Hamas was the victim, could do anything they want, and Israel was the perpetrator. And that's been going on for almost 2 years now. In fact, it was Charlie Kirk who was trying to warn people of that, of how quickly the narrative changed. And there are these killers who pick out any symbol of the Jewish people, all part of the collectivist thing that if you're a certain group, then you're representative. I don't even know what to ask you in our couple of minutes left because it is a psychosis. It's really psychosis to kill it's psychosis to kill a CEO on daylight on a street because he's the CEO of a healthcare insurance company you don't like. And you blame him for everything. I mean, that's psychosis too. It's the same kind of psychosis. Go ahead.
We have become assassination nation. And
oh my God.
You know, it's like
horrible.
You don't like something, you just kill the person. You know, one of the things I love to quote this because it just says it all. When you remember when Netanyahu spoke before Congress and he said
yes.
He said, gays for Gaza are like chicken for KFC.
Yep.
In other words, they are
for
supporting,
sure.
promoting, encouraging people who want to kill them. And everybody needs to think of that. It's really not just the Jews.
Like Greta Thunberg and the like.
Thunberg, yes, yes.
So totally great to talk to you, Dr. Carol Lieberman. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. We got to wrap up the show. Well, that does it for the Alan Nathan Show and for the Main Street Radio Network for this day. Thank you to everyone who makes the show possible. Tune in every weekday and have a great day.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.